I'm sitting here with the legendary Matt Keener, our Kickstarter backer and screenplay consultant on our project formerly known as Walk in Progress and is now working title, Mala Land. I'm currently in Los Angeles and had the pleasure of sitting down with Matt to discuss the current state of affairs with Mala Land, formerly known as Walk in Progress. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Victor. Yeah, glad to be here. So actually, you know, that's probably the one piece that I don't know about. Do you know how the title shift came about to Mala Land? I think obviously sort of at least playfully influenced by the success of La La Land, right?
Yeah, it's just a working title.
Right.
Murray sent me over the most recent draft of his screenplay and it said Mala Land on the cover. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, well, that works for now.
Cool, right, yeah.
I've known you for about a decade.
I guess it is. It's getting on there, right?
But for our Kickstarter backers and for the other people listening to this podcast may not be as familiar with you as I am, could you please introduce yourself?
My background is kind of, I've done a lot of different things in this industry, but fundamentally, I'm a filmmaker. I've always been a filmmaker from as little as I can remember. In fact, you know, I'm not sure what age it is, Victor, that a child realizes that the world doesn't exist, but people had to make certain things like houses and buildings and movies that you would see on the movie screen, that somebody had to make that. At whatever age that was for me, where I came to know that people made movies, I knew deeply that I wanted to do that when I grew up. You know, like little kids want to be a fireman or a space, you know, astronaut or something. I wanted to make that, the movies. And, you know, and part of that was because my father, who was an English literature professor at Columbia University when we were kids, he would take us to the movies a lot, like a super lot, sometimes maybe too often. Like a typical Saturday with my dad, we called the movie marathons, where, you know, in the city, there are movie theaters like on practically every street corner back in those days. And so we'd go from one movie, cross the street to another movie, cross the street to another movie, cross the street to another movie. And in the course of it, what would happen is my dad loved movies so much, he would just go to whatever was playing. And we would go like in the middle of the screening. Like, excuse me. We go and sit down. The movie's in the middle of playing. Everybody else is watching it. When the movie ends, they all get up and leave because they saw a movie like normal people do, right? Well, we hadn't seen some portion of the movie, so we would stay. And while, you know, between the screenings, where, like, they would come and sweep up the popcorn, we would sit and our dad would play this game with us like we were his graduate students or something. Where the game is, you figure out what must have happened before we came in, based on what we saw. And so, you know, my older siblings kind of joke to this day about how it was a mild form of child abuse, how we never got to see movies from the beginning. But I loved it because I was the third one and I had undiagnosed dyslexia, so I had a real hard time learning to read. So at the time, I thought I was like a dunce, but and my older siblings, they were like reading geniuses. And so this didn't require reading. And I could compete with my older siblings on an even playing field. And so I loved it. And they kind of resented it. So I got better at it and better and better. And so I could actually beat them at it. Because what you do is you figure out what happened in terms of character development, plot setups, even things like running gags where you could kind of get something. Oh, yeah, that thing they said later and the audience laughed. Yeah. Oh, they must have set up something that we would have known to make us laugh, but we're not laughing. Stuff like that. So, in effect, Victor, what this became was kind of like from childhood, I was getting this deep education in the deconstruction of cinematic narrative. What does it take to make a story work? And on top of that, you know, my dad's an English literature professor. So, you know, since we're little kids, we're like weaned on the classics, Chaucer, Beowulf, you know, Shakespeare, you know, that sort of thing. In fact, he would tell us these bedtime stories with various characters drawn from the classics. When I was a little kid, I thought Don Quixote was a donkey named Hody. So I have this background in story. And so, you know, since I was, I think I was probably 10 or 11 when I made my first movie with my dad's Bolex camera, shooting up the film he had planned to use for the family summer vacation, and got in trouble, got grounded, and that was my first lesson in film finance, that you have to raise the money, buy your own film, and right? So I've been actively involved in the business pretty much my whole life, but not like, you know, an industry brat who grew up in it. I was sort of a little bit of an outsider. By the time I graduated from Dartmouth College, still knowing what I really wanted to do with my life was make movies, I came out to Hollywood and, you know, worked my way up through the Hollywood system, the mailroom at the agencies. I was at ICM first and then at APA, two of the larger talent agencies in the business. And I was really fortunate there to be able to draw on my story background, story experience, to do a lot of in-house story work at these agencies, which typically agencies don't do story work. They represent writers, directors, and creative producers who do the story work, but not a lot of it typically happens inside the agencies. But I was able to do that and help move certain projects forward that would otherwise be stalled by coming up with solutions. I then went over to the other side of the story side of the business, which is considered the buyer side. So the agencies are like the sell side, selling screenplays, selling the services of writers and directors and creative producers to work on those screenplays, and then of course, you know, shoot them and, you know, turn them into movies and television shows. Then on the buyer side, as story development executive, so I worked at two Academy Award winning production companies, helping find stories or shape the stories that they were already developing. And then went on my own to be an independent producer, filmmaker, developing my own stories. During that time, what happened was kind of an unusual thing, which is a number of the writers that I had been working with at the agencies or at the production companies approached me with a request that I help them on their present assignment that was giving them some trouble. And yeah, I remember the first one kind of called me up and they were kind of shy about it. And they were like, I don't know if you would ever consider this, but there was something about the way when we worked together, back when we worked together, the way that you gave me feedback on that project that was so different from anything everybody else has ever, you know, helped me with. Could you maybe look at this script that I'm working on right now on assignment, because I'm struggling and I need some help. And I could maybe pay you a little something on the side, you know, hire you as like a consultant. Now today, the idea of a script consultant or script doctor or story consultant is a pretty well-known concept, and there are lots of former development executives who do that for a living now. At that time, it was pretty unheard of. I'd never heard of it before, and the writers had never heard of it. That's why they kind of asked me, like, I don't want to like insult you or anything, but could you maybe please help me out? And so I started doing that with one writer, and then another writer, and then another writer had a friend, and then this. And what happened was that became a full-time thing for me. And so, you know, I had my own projects that I was guiding as a producer with writers. I also have been a writer myself my whole life. I had projects that I was writing that kind of all had to go on the shelf or just wait for me to have more time, because I started getting busy full-time giving feedback and coaching to these writers who had assignments that they were struggling with. In effect, their job was to be the script doctor fixing and doing rewrites for the studios and networks. And my job was to be their script doctor. And so over years of doing that, what happened was several kind of exciting things, one of which, and totally unplanned, I fell into this backwards. It was not a planned career move at all. In fact, it was like the opposite of a career move. But it, yeah, right. Life, that thing that happens while you're busy making other plans, right? So what was happening was the writers that I was working with, each one worked in a different genre. Each one had different skill sets that they were particularly valued by the studios or the network or the production company where they were doing most of their work. And yet we started to see, or I in the middle of it, like, because, you know, I'm working with all these different writers on all these different problem projects, I started to see patterns of where scripts go wrong in the development process that transcended genres. It was, you know, the same sort of thing from one genre to another genre. So whether it was a thriller or an action adventure or a romance or a comedy or a romantic comedy or whatever, started to see certain patterns, several of which the solution to the problem led us in the opposite direction of pretty much, not quite everything, but a lot of the things that are industry standard known story stuff. Like, how do you do story? Things like character arc, things like you need a likable character, these kind of things. We all know those are standard ways to make a story stronger, make sure that you've got a character arc. And we started to realize that some of the things that were industry standards for creating strong story, the industry had wrong. And that's one of the things that was creating a lot of these problems that we were charged with fixing. And so after years of doing that, we started to realize that it would be great to be able to share these tools with writers, more than just this little group I was working with, many of whom at that point were starting to retire because they've been doing it for so many years. So myself and a couple other development executives who were really particularly good with story as well, we started this new company called Scenario. Scenario, the name of the company, comes from what the earliest screenplays were referred to. It's sort of like, we might call it treatment today, but the earliest screenplays were kind of like treatments, and they were referred to as a scenario. And so that's sort of the write-up of how the scenes would be, if you will. So we named our company after that to indicate our roots, if you will, in the story side of the equation. And so the name of the company is Scenario. Officially, it's Scenario Entertainment, but we call it, and it's known in the industry as just Scenario. And our little motto, if you will, is that story matters. So, you know, Scenario, story matters is our thing. So that's what we do. We're a production company that is story-based. Everything that we do is all about starting from the story, making the story as strong as possible, and then building the other elements of the production from the strong story. So if you've got strong story elements, your script is going to be stronger, better. That means you're going to be able to have more compelling characters. That's going to be more appealing to various actors, and particularly the higher level actors, the star actors, that they and the people that work with them to find projects for them are on the lookout for roles that are particularly strong, challenging characters with depth and so forth. And so that's the kind of work we do. And if you have projects that are more appealing to star actors, then that helps to move the production forward in terms of attracting financing and, you know, the rest of the production. So that's a big part of what we do as a production company. We also have a management side of what we do, a management division, if you will, where we provide career guidance and support and mentorship for other writers and other directors and other creative producers that we're working with. So guiding people through from the emerging stage of their career, where they need to launch the career, through to the middle of their career, where they may need to strengthen certain aspects of their skill set, or the particular things like their in-the-room skills. If someone's good at writing, they may not be so good at the pitching part, but they might be good at pitching, but not so good at the dialogue writing or the structure or whatever. So kind of coaching and guiding and mentoring is a big part of what we do as well. And then a third part of what we do is a holdover from when I used to do all that script doctoring work. So we still do consulting work for studios or larger production companies or network. Or in this case, for you guys, because, you know, you and I had worked together, was it 10 years ago now? It's not quite, but 8 years, I think so, yeah. So, you know, because we had worked together and I'm a big fan of yours and wanted to support what you were doing, when, you know, you came forward with this project that you and Mario were doing, and, you know, I wanted to do what I could to support you both with the Kickstarter. And then also, you know, when you guys were saying that you might need some help with the script, I was really glad to, first of all, meet Murray, who, you know, I hadn't known before, and then, you know, have an opportunity to work with him as we went through the process, you know, with kind of yours and Murray's vision for revisioning the script a bit as you were moving from the television series concept to a feature film concept. There was some kind of rethinking that needed to be done, and so I was able to work with Murray pretty closely. You know, we would meet pretty regularly on, I was going to say Skype, but I think actually it was WeChat that we were meeting on a pretty regular basis, you know, with him in China, me in Los Angeles, as we re-broke the story in certain areas, deepened the characters, fixed plot issues, created new plot elements to kind of shape things as they are now. Initially, it was the two guys, they're foreigners coming to China and, you know, being the fish out of water comedy of these two guys. They're Westerners. They very clearly, you know, they have European backgrounds, whether they're American or where they're from. They are clearly not Asian. They're not Chinese. And one of the things that we did that I think we were all pretty excited about was to add the character of Desmond, as he's known now, but, you know, as a Chinese American who's coming to China. And he is also an outsider. So he's a fish out of water coming into this culture that he doesn't really know, even though he's actually visiting his grandparents, who, you know, he doesn't know them very well. He doesn't know Chinese culture very well, but he is, of course, Chinese. And bringing that dimension to it, I think is, you know, something that really is helping kind of more than flesh out, but also balance out these two guys that are foreigners and give an understanding and maybe more of a connection for a big part of what will likely be the potential audience for a movie about two guys going to China would be Chinese people in the diaspora, if you will, the, you know, Chinese who are living and, you know, raising their children abroad from China. So Chinese Americans, you know, European Chinese people, and to be able to have somebody representing their story in this story was something that we were super excited by. And obviously, you know, that's something you can speak to as a Chinese American yourself, right? Adding that character seemed to also help really ground the story so that our guys had more both reason to be there and reason to engage and even comedically struggle with the culture a bit more. So that's an element that we're pretty excited by. And then overall, just sort of going in and deepening the other two characters, giving them a little more access to some of those layers that you guys had from the beginning. And, you know, I'm sure on the set when you were even, you know, working with the pilot that you guys shot, you were already working those elements, but bringing them out more in a screenplay for a fuller feature film, that was a big part of what we were doing. By having these three different characters, and of course all the characters are going to be interacting with, it's obviously more than just the three guys who go to China. You know, they're the people that they encounter there. There are people who may follow them there, not to give anything away too much, but others that they're interacting with, people back home that they might be in communication with. So, you know, there's obviously, you know, this whole cast of characters. I mean, particularly because it's a comedy, it's a comedic look at these two cultures. So culture clash issues, culture misunderstandings, farce that could be built out of misunderstandings, things where, you know, they don't understand the language very well. they have some rudimentary, but rudimentary can be, yeah, right, you're smiling because that can be just enough to get you into trouble, right? And a certain word that sounds a certain way in a certain circumstance may actually be totally the wrong thing to say. And so, you know, looking to play up some more of that. Another kind of fun challenge with multicultural or cross-cultural stories is, and particularly if you're taking the comedic approach, but even with the dramatic approach as well, there are the things that are kind of, in a sense, de rigueur, that you kind of have to touch base with. And it's important to be sensitive to that, because if you approach those things that everybody knows and everybody expects, and if you just kind of plop them out there, they can come off as offensive stereotypes. So the common approach to that nowadays is people like, oh, well, we don't want to show that. So you just rip it out of the script. Then people look at it and be like, well, wait, you missed the obvious thing, you know, like the thing that we would all expect. Well, oh, well, we didn't want to do that because we didn't want to do stereotyping. We didn't want to do cliches. And people say, oh, yeah, okay, I see that. But you still miss the obvious stuff, right? So the fun creative challenge there is, yeah, how can you visit those elements that we all know and we all expect, and maybe visit them in a fresh way, visit them with some kind of reversal to it, so some kind of unexpected aspect to it, or, you know, play with those expectations. So you expect the elderly person in China not to be able to understand English. Okay, so good. So you have our guys do all this sign language and, you know, pidgin English / whatever little bit of Chinese they know to try to communicate with this elderly person. And then the reversal is the elderly person in a perfect British accent says to them, oh, yes, you want the so-and-so, it's down the hall, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they conduct themselves in perfect, better English than our guys speak, right? See, now you're playing with those expectations. You're not avoiding them, you're playing with them, right? So that's part of the thing of this sort of thing, you know, it's where, how do you work cultural elements in ways that are sensitive, but maybe not so overly sensitive that you're avoiding those issues? Because if you avoid the issues, then it kind of feels maybe unreal, not realistic enough. It might be perfectly polite, but not really getting at something that people really are expecting to see and reasonably, you know, have an expectation that's one that should be paid off. You know, they're going to see this movie, tuning into Netflix to watch this movie, however they're engaging with this movie, precisely because they're interested in seeing these cultural differences. And they're interested in seeing them play out in ways that are both comedic and also potentially, it's not like, oh, you're in school being, you know, forced to learn something. It's more like, yes, you're coming to understand something. And of course, you know, to state the obvious, one of the biggest things you're coming to understand is that, yes, we humans have our differences, but fundamentally, we are much more in the same boat than not, you know? And so, you know, we all have things that we care about. We have our insecurities, we have our hopes, we have our dreams, we have our worries, we have our foibles, and, you know, but by and large, we're all just trying to figure this thing out, you know, this life thing. Yeah, that thing that happens while you're busy making other plans. Yeah, so with, you know, the script that we have now, the draft that you've read most recently, you know, I think we've done some pretty good work there. Murray is really, really, to his credit, he dug in deep, and I brought some real challenges to him. I really asked him to reconsider some things that sometimes you have these little darlings, you know, little special moments, and you're like, oh, you know, I love that moment. And we try to be respectful of those. At the same time, if there's an aspect of it that may not be working, we'll really put a light on it. And Murray was really, I mean, obviously, you know, he's spent a lot of time in China. He brings the foreigner perspective to it, but he's been there, he gets it. And in terms of the process that we went through, yes, there was quite a bit of discussion and let's really think about that. Let's question that assumption. And because it's a comedy, there were opportunities to question that assumption in playful ways where it's like, oh, okay, let's set up this assumption and then let's reverse it or let's explore the possibility of that. And Murray was more than a good sport about that. And often he himself would be the one, once I was asking certain questions, he was really good at really rethinking something and being like, you know, one of the things he would say, he would be like, oh, right, Matt, that's a good point. Like, you're making a good point to me. And I would point out to him playfully, well, actually, Murray, I just asked you a question. I didn't make the point. You're the one making the point. And he'd be like, oh, right, I am. It's like, so it was a great process thus far. Yeah. So we're at a place where we've got what one might consider sort of the solid draft. But of course, there's still work that we're going to want to be doing from now through going into production and so forth to make sure that we're taking advantage of every opportunity during that time to strengthen the script, to polish the script. And even, you know, with the casting process, as we're showing the script, we're going to be getting feedback. We're big believers at Scenario in getting feedback. In fact, we have a pretty deep roster of people that we use, not strictly for feedback, but heavily for feedback, so that we can test things. Does it work? Does it not work? And so forth. And particularly with comedy, as you know, you're always at work on how can we make things better? How can we polish that joke to land just a little bit better? Or, is that joke still as strong? What about another option? So, you know, and having multiple options with the comedy. Because, you know, as you know, the comedy especially, a lot of it happens in the editing room. And you need, you know, different options, different opportunities to make things stronger. So the plan is that we'll keep working on the script as we get feedback and even as we get ideas. So that will continue. As we now go into the more formal pre-production process, so that now, you know, it's going to be a lot of the work that you've been doing in terms of, you know, raising both interest and actual capital support from various different sources. So, you know, there's that. There's obviously the casting process itself, where, you know, two of the main roles, obviously, you know, from the beginning were in place. Now we've added this third guy. That's going to be an interesting challenge to find a Chinese American actor at that age who can play that role. During that process, as we do things like maybe some stage reading type thing, you know, we'll be able to improve the polish of the script and so forth during that process. Particularly with comedy, people often think, well, that's just goofing around. That must be easy to write, you know. Doing comedy well is one of the more challenging art forms within drama, you know? So it's a lot of pieces trying to be both culturally sensitive, but also not pandering or being so soft that we're not really doing anything worthwhile. When you're doing cultural, cross-cultural stories, yes, you want to be respectful, but you do need to get into it. You need to get into that there are differences, and ideally we can give some insight as to why there are differences and that we can approach it from a standpoint that those differences have their reasons, they have their legitimacy, even when they come out in ways that are troubling. So, that's our time for today. If you have any pressing other things, but we've covered some good ground here, and hopefully that's a good update for people in terms of where we are and what we're doing and how excited we are. And also, I think we shouldn't finish up here without a sincere acknowledgement of our appreciation for all of the supporters that have come on thus far, and even a shout out to the future supporters that are going to be coming on to this project, right? Because, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes an even bigger village to make a movie, right? Yeah.
So right.
Right on. So great seeing you, and thank you. Yes, Victor, you know, obviously, you know, you've been the visionary and engine behind this project for some time, and, you know,
and overstated, but I appreciate it. I'll take all the credit I can get.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, everything that you and Murray have been doing to date is to be commended. And, you know, as the team continues to grow and we get this thing shot, edited, and marketed and distributed, and each piece of that is an arduous process in and of itself, but very worthwhile, especially with a project like this that can really help us as human beings share this planet just a little bit better with each other.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, right on. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, Victor. Bye now.